Let us pray. May the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. Bob Wolf, in his book, Friendly Persuasion, tells a pretty funny story that former talk show host Larry King once told him. It seems that Larry was a guest on a morning show in Dallas, Texas. The woman who interviewed him was the classic host, who asks you a question and then looks off in another direction, not paying any attention at all to what you say in reply. This host had 5 questions written out by someone else, and she checked off each question as she asked it. Larry noticed that she wasn't listening at all. She was looking at the camera and at the monitor, anywhere but at him. Her 3rd question was, "What do you think is the secret to being a successful talk show host?" As Larry King started to answer, he saw she was looking at the monitor again, not paying him the slightest bit of attention. So he decided to have a little bit of fun at her expense. He said, "In my case, it's the fact that I'm an agent for the CIA. They get me good guests, and I broadcast my show signal words encoded are full of coded messages every night for their agents." Without missing a beat, said Larry King, she fired off the next question. "Can you tell us some of the outstanding guests you've had?" Larry King said that her whole crew started breaking up and laughing in the studio. According to Wolf, the inspiration for Larry King's put-on was a classic routine by an old radio comedy team, whom some of you may remember, Bob and Ray. This skit featured a character on their radio program named Wally Ballou. Wally would be on the street saying, "This is Wally Ballou, world-famous interviewer. Here comes a gentleman. What's your name, sir?" "My name is Jim Friswell," said the interviewer. "Hello, Jim," said Wally. "Where do you live?" "Long Island," Jim answered. "What do you do for a living?" Wally asked. Seeing that Wally was not actually listening, Jim answered, "I'm an agent for the KGB." "What brings you to New York?" asked Wally, without acknowledging Jim's answer. "I'm going to blow up the UN building," Jim answered seriously. The oblivious Wally asked, "Have you seen the Broadway show My Fair Lady?" Obviously, Wally was not a good listener. Our question for the day is, how well do you listen? If I ask your spouse how well you listen, what would he or she say? If I ask your employees or your coworkers the same question, how would they answer? If I ask God, how well does Joe or Sally listen, how do you think God might answer? In our lesson for the day, Jesus tells a parable. "A sower went forth to sow," he said. "Some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds devoured it. Some fell on the hard ground and withered because the young plants could not put down deep roots. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. But some of the seed fell on good ground, and they brought forth fruit, in some cases 100-fold. Now, I believe that you will agree with me that Jesus was not interested in teaching them or us about agriculture. He's talking about persons who are exposed to his teachings, those who hear the message of the gospel. He knew that some of those who hear the word will have heard nothing at all. Others, after hearing him, will make a half-hearted commitment, and then they'll fall away. A few will be sincere, but when they get out in the world, they'll waver and wither. Jesus knew only a handful will experience the joy, the new meaning, and the purpose that walking in Jesus' footsteps can give, even though that's a very dangerous walk. And the question is, why more people won't pay attention to his words? Why won't people listen to what Jesus has to say? Of course, it's easy to talk about the disinterest of the outside world. But an even more pressing question today is, why those of us who are supposedly committed to Christ do not listen very well? Why are we not more ardent, more adventurous, more assertive in our commitment to Jesus? What is it that's holding us back? And so I'm asking you, as I'm asking myself, how well do we listen? How well do we listen to others, particularly those closest to you? How well do we listen to God? Statistics show that most people do not listen very well, even in the best of circumstances. Even worse, we don't remember much of what we hear, even if we do listen. For example, if I were to ask you, how much do you remember from my sermon last week? You remember probably very little. Actually, if the truth be known, I'm not sure that I remember all that much of it. Studies show that people remember stories, and I want to help you remember the things we talk about. And I'm sure that's one reason Jesus used so many parables, just like I use so many stories. People remember stories. People remember parables, which, of course, parables are a kind of story. Note this. The scriptures say that Jesus had much more to say than what is recorded in the Gospels. That's understandable. Jesus never wrote anything down that we know of, except when he wrote in the dirt as he counseled the woman caught in adultery. Jesus didn't have lesson plans. Jesus spoke, and he expected that his listeners would remember what he said. I'm certain that the reason that the writers of the gospel included so many of his parables is that that's because that's what they could remember from his teachings. Stories stick with us. Listening is difficult business. The problem could be on the part of the listener, or it could simply be the nature of the situation. In Texas, they tell a humorous story of an immigrant from the Middle East named Ahmed, who managed a repair service there in the Lone Star State. One day, a man called the repair service and asked to speak to the manager, Ahmed. "Hello, Ed speaking. How can I help you?" said the guy who answered the phone. "Sorry," said the man on the other end. "I was calling for Ahmed." "This is Ahmed," came the reply. "How can I help you?" "I thought you said your name was Ed," asked the potential client. "I did," said Ed with a genuine tax rate accent. "However, when I answer the phone and say, Ahmed, people think I'm Ed. So I figured it's just easier to be Ed." Communication is difficult business. Listening is difficult. But notice Jesus' emphasis in this parable is not upon the sower of the seed, but upon the soil. Is the condition of the soil receptive to the seed? God is the sower, the gospel is the seed, and the soil is our hearts. The most eloquent preacher or teacher in the world cannot reach the heart that is hardened to the gospel or the life that is choked with weeds or worldly concern. I came across a story about a woman who was frantic when she discovered her daughter was missing in the Rocky Mountains. This woman thrashed through the woods, screaming her daughter's name. She went back to the campsite and called for help. Within half an hour, a search team had been organized. It began sweeping the area, calling out at regular intervals for the little girl. The woman sat down on a rock for a moment to rest. How would she ever find her little girl? She was listening for her daughter's voice, but all she could hear was the volunteer search team pounding through the woods, calling out to her daughter, one to another. She couldn't hear her daughter's voice, even if her daughter was speaking to her. Suddenly, she decided that she and the other searchers were making so much noise that they could not hear the girl if she, in fact, was calling out for help. She relayed this information to the others, and in moments, everyone was silent, standing quietly. The woman listened. Nothing. She listened harder. Every pore of her body, every fiber, every muscle strained to hear the one voice that she would recognize above the others. Then she heard a little girl calling for her. By carefully listening and following the sound of the voice she heard, the woman was reunited with her daughter. Sometimes we need to simply get to a quiet place and listen. Of course, that's a major part of what prayer is all about, listening. We need a time when we can simply spend time in God's presence. Some people call this centering prayer. Mother Teresa, who once explained to an interviewer that when she prayed, she often said nothing to God. She just listened. When asked what God said to her as she prayed, she answered, "Nothing. God listens too." Then she added, "If you don't understand what I'm talking about, I can't explain it to you." The psalmist describes it poetically by saying, it is the deep speaking to the deep. In another place, the Bible says that such prayers are groanings that cannot be uttered. It takes a real commitment to set aside the time to truly listen to God. It's ironic, isn't it? We will resolve to spend an hour each day exercising our bodies at the gym or walking or running or biking, but we won't spend not half that time each day centering our soul by spending time in God's presence, just listening. Jesus told a parable. A sower went forth to sow. Some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds devoured it. Some fell on the hard ground and withered because the young plants could not put down deep roots. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. But some of the seed fell on the ground, and they brought forth fruit, in some cases 100-fold. The seed falling on the good soil, he later explained, refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. In what condition is the soul that is your heart? My friends, it's simply a matter of listening. Amen.